you're right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you will look for yours on earth, and now you see the light.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for the best in social and political straight talk. And now, here's your host, Miss Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, February the 17th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, former Richmond Councilman Bill Johnson. How are you?
Hello, lady. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here today. And also with us is former Richmond Councilman Marty Jewell. How are you?
I'm fair for a square.
There
glad
you go.
To be here.
Let me move your mic a little so everybody can hear you today. And also with us is James Coleman. How are you, friend?
I'm doing great.
Well, thank you for being here today. And our social media and roving correspondent, Antoinette Baylor, is taking some time off. So working behind the scenes is Marcus Evans and Mr. Free. Thank you all for being here today. We want all of our listeners to join the conversation. Our phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at TanyaFree63975. Or download the TuneIn app to listen to us on your mobile phone. Let's jump right into it. First, I want to extend our condolences to the family and friends of Supreme Court Justice Antoinette Scalia, who passed over the weekend. And it's unfortunate that the Republicans didn't waste any time making it clear that they're going to block anyone President Obama tries to appoint for Justice Scalia replacement. Now, the Republicans have demanded that a delay in the president going forward. And the president made it clear on Saturday as well as yesterday during a news conference that he will fulfill his constitutional responsibility by naming a replacement. And, Bill, tell me, do you think the president should wait or should he go forward?
Well, of course not. He should go forward. Just the mere notion, the man wasn't even cold. And they jumped out there saying what they were going to block him, just like when he was standing there accepting that he was the new president. They were a block and a half down the street claiming that he would be a one-term president.
Yeah.
And it was Mitch McConnell that led that. Yes, he should do it. Now, I do have some issues with that brother because when we had the control of the Senate and all of those vacancies for the federal court,
right?
They decided they wanted to hold back. What was the majority leader at that time?
Are you talking about the one that just left?
Yes.
Right. I can't think of his name, but I know you're talking.
He's going to be benevolent,
right?
You know what I'm saying? There's no time to be benevolent.
Eric Cantor.
No.
The one that just left.
The speaker.
Right. He just left and used to cry all the time.
Oh, Boehner.
No. I'm going to talk about him. I'm talking about the guy from Arizona. What is his name? I can come up.
Okay.
In
well,
the House
well,
or the Senate?
Senate. Senate Majority Leader.
Okay, I'll look it up in the meantime. Go ahead with your point.
The Democrat,
Reed,
the point, Harry Reid.
Harry Reid,
yeah. Okay.
And we had all of the authority we needed and all of those vacancies, but he did not stack the deck.
Right.
And here we are out there looking for justice and calling for justice. We had an opportunity to stack the deck, and he wouldn't do it. Obama might be black, but he don't have no whole lot of brother in him, man.
Well, I think now Saturday and yesterday, he seemed to have gotten real bold. Real bold. He came for, in my opinion, a lot stronger tone than he has in the last 7 years.
Well,
I think he has that attitude now, okay, I don't had enough.
Yeah, he
that's the attitude he has now. I wish he had had it then,
when he had the power.
Yes.
When he had the power.
Right. So
I just want to point out that things were so toxic back then, he mistakenly thought that I can soft soap this thing and make friends with Republicans. A faulty notion
that
there ever was.
Naivete,
yes. However, as you mentioned, Mitch McConnell made the point, I'm gonna make the top priority of this be a one-term president.
Yes.
While the man was taking the oath.
Yes.
it turned out that Obama made a lie out of him,
mm-hmm.
and he's a two-term president.
Right.
The same principle applies here. Just last month, Mr. Sturtevant, Senator Sturtevant, took his seat. Everybody thought that they could count on him on the Republican side to deny Supreme Court Justice Roush an opportunity to serve in a permanent position. And they just knew that they had her, and that guy with the rug on his head would be the next Supreme Court guy. Well, Sturtevant voted with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
Who knew?
And so who knows now?
It's just
he
like,
needs to go forward,
like
and
John
he needs
Roberts.
To go hard.
Right.
Yeah, they thought he was a conservative.
Even Justice Roberts.
Yeah.
Roberts
yeah,
has come with a couple
him,
of
right.
good come down.
Well,
on
I'm just talking about the appointment process. Appoint now, go hard at it, and let's see what happens.
Oh, I think he's going to do it. James, what do you think?
I'm speaking more from the non-political,
mm-hmm.
because now the issue is before us as far as whether or not President Obama should move forward. Well, the Constitution clearly states that choosing the justice is solely his responsibility.
Sure. Right.
For him not to do it, it would be derelict in his responsibility.
Correct.
So he has to do it. Now, of course, you know he's going to get opposition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's a given.
They've already made that clear.
Yeah. However, what we should be looking at is what is the effect if he does not do it. They're going to criticize him for not doing it.
Either way.
And also, there are some important laws.
You're right.
On abortion,
well,
affirmative
voting rights,
action.
The voting rights and affirmative action, yeah. Those are the main two.
The Affordable Care Act.
Right. That are crucial.
That are crucial. That if he doesn't act, let the Republicans can do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But President Obama has a judicial responsibility to appoint the justice.
Well, the good thing about that is that it goes back down to the lower court, and that ruling stands. And I think as far as abortion, I think that was something that they appealed Obama. A couple of those things were Obama's, that were the immigration, they were the states appealed Obama's decision, and the
executive
courts
order.
Upheld it, and they appealed it.
Yeah.
So if it don't, it'll go back, and what he put in there will prevail. That's the good point. Now, what I'm hoping is that the Democratic National Committee sees this opportunity of obstructionism, and that's exactly what it is, because you've got anywhere from 15 to 10 senators in that are vulnerable for reelection. We need to target those folks.
Oh, yeah. That's,
and take back
absolutely.
The Senate. We
you're
need
right.
to target
you're,
those folks.
You're absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
And that will put pressure on them to.
And
to
not only that, to gain back the Senate.
Senate, yeah.
Because
true.
Regardless whether whoever gets in there, if they're Democrat or Bernie Sanders, they're going to have the same challenges that Obama faced.
Right. You're absolutely right. And let me say this, James, what you were talking about, there are several critical issues or things now that are pending. And one of them being the voting rights, which they heard on December the 8th. And the court is considering changing the way state and municipal voting districts are drawn by allowing the number of eligible voters rather than total population. That would render non-citizens invisible in the courts, along with children, prisoners, some felons, and some people with intellectual disabilities. So that is crucial that he appoints. The other one is the affirmative action, which was heard on December the 8th. And this is coming from an article USA Today. And it read, in a crucial test of university admission program that take a race into consideration, the court appeared ready in December to cut back on affirmative action. Now, those two issues you mentioned before.
Immigration.
Right, immigration was another one.
Mm-hmm.
Immigration, the labor union was another one, which was heard on January the 11th. Abortion was heard on March, will be heard on March the 2nd. Contraception, the 23rd. And the affordable health care, now when is that scheduled to be heard? I didn't have that one on list. I had immigration, which is scheduled for April. I didn't have that one on list. But all of those issues are crucial in that it's really important that President Obama move forward as he has stated, and that he will not allow himself to play this game with the Republicans. Now, one way, if he decides to put forth people and they continue to block it, he can go ahead and just appoint someone when they're in session. Now, would you all think he would do that? Or because it was stated yesterday that he could have done it while they're in session now, but he elected not to. I mean, they didn't wait to Scalia was cold, like someone said. I've known people to have a dog to die, and they wait longer than that.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. Not while in session. Are you talking about recess appointment?
Recess. Right.
Uh-huh.
So do you think he would do it if they continue to block everyone?
I think he should do it. I think he'd take whatever he can. He needs to go forward and go hard.
I think he's too much of a gentleman. I don't think he'd do it.
Well, I think at some point.
I think
point
we should petition him.
I think at some point you become too much of a fool. Then don't give him anything. And if I can, while we're talking about Mitch McConnell, for him to say what he said about a one-term president, what he did in an instant was to take away the benefit of the doubt from the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Associated with the benefit of the doubt is a thing called discretion. And he removed discretion for the president. What do you think is going to happen to the rest of us when it comes to discretion? And my point is that in state law, these legislators have put in these draconian laws that ensnare people in the criminal justice system, mm-hmm. knowing that at the enforcement level, we get no discretion. We get no benefit of the doubt. And so our people suffer 3-1 worse consequences than white folks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the game that they're playing. They put these laws in place knowing that at the enforcement level, we're going to get slammed.
Right.
And it's across the board. It's a game that they played, and they're darn good at it. And so we got to wake up and start fighting back on this stuff.
Well, and also, too, what it says is that they are sure that a Republican will win this presidential election. The fact mm-hmm. that they want to wait. I mean, they
did
are.
Did you see that presidential debate?
Which one?
The last Republican.
Yeah.
It was a circus.
It was a circus.
As it always is.
None of them.
Yeah, as it always is. But my question is this. What would they do if Donald Trump were to be president? Now, they can't do anything with him now. Can you imagine him appointing someone on the Supreme Court? What would that look like?
Wow.
James?
Wow.
Really, what would that look like?
Bobo the Clown.
Yeah.
Bobo the Clown is probably what it would look like.
Yes. He has less than 50% of half of the Republican Party. So, really and truly, when you start talking about how much he actually had, he's only got 35%.
35%? Yeah. I don't know where you get that 50%.
Yeah, 35%.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
it's consistent.
So, we, in the news media, really bother me.
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
they basically prop this stuff up, and we... Yeah, we've had two primary and a caucus. Oh, it's over for Hillary Clinton. Oh, it's over for this person or that person. It's only two primaries, two states. I mean, come on, we've got a whole year to go, you know what I'm saying, in order to do this. And it's tough when we start to allowing the press to continue to put us in this state of panic, yeah. if you will.
Sure.
You know, Donald Trump.
Dramatic. Drama.
And it's not. It's like Obama was saying yesterday. It's not just the United States. People around the world are looking at us and wondering what the world are we yeah. doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even putting a guy like him up there. But
circus.
He really did go after the Bush people.
But you know what? I think he went after Trump, but I think that played in Trump's favor when he said that Trump has, well, in essence what he was saying, that Trump has no business being president and that he doesn't have the experience and that sort of thing he was actually saying.
The president.
Yeah, the president yesterday.
Yeah.
And to me, that played into Trump's hand because if he keeps saying that to those evangelical, you just mentioned President Obama's name.
Yeah.
And that just sends people off.
Mm-hmm.
And he played it in an ad and speak about that on tomorrow's town hall. That gives him, that would give him even more of a lead. Because mm-hmm. that's all he has to do. Just to say President Obama's a name and the fact that President Obama talked about Trump in that fashion, Well, he may have given Trump the nomination, Republican nomination.
If he gives him the nomination, then I think we as Democrats will win. Because I'm telling you, through a process of elimination, that guy, I looked at all of them.
We all said that from the beginning, that he wasn't going to this, he wasn't going to that. What happened?
But the polls are saying that against Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders has a better chance of beating him than does Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump, I'm talking about. And those polls also have been consistent. And so it could have been a Machiavellian move on the part of the president to boost Trump, hoping that he gets a nomination and get his willy whacked.
Okay. Well, we will see. We will definitely see. I think that yesterday the president in the conference, he sort of gave Hillary an endorsement. I think it was more of an endorsement
for Hillary.
He's
a Democrat.
Yeah, well, I know, but I'm saying between Hillary and Bernie Sanders is what
Hillary
I was saying.
Hillary is a Democrat.
And your point being?
That he is an independent socialist.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment.
He's a Democratic socialist.
Well, what else?
Go ahead, James.
He's a Democrat now.
The final thought on the justice. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the various issues that is before the court. The average person don't understand that. What they see is Republican versus Democrat.
You are so right.
And what we have to really look at, and I'll give you, put up on the website, to examine these court cases and the effect it's going to have, they're going to trickle down if he doesn't appoint. And that's the main thing. He has the right to do it. He's going to do it. Let the Republicans do what they do.
Well, let me say this. Yeah. It's going to have even effect on us as far as this election is concerned. Yeah. If he doesn't do it, we got to think about who makes sure that we get a Democrat in office for the next term as well. So twofold. This is a twofold issue that we need to pay attention to. You know. So this week's Praise Break is Encourage Yourself by Donald Lawrence, sponsored by the Metropolitan Day School, where Eagles soar.
Yourself in the Lord. victory during the test. And no matter how you feel, speak the word and you will be healed. Speak over yourself, encourage yourself.
This is Tanya Friend. 2016 is here, and the second semester is approaching. Have your child's grades been affected by behavior problems? Are you tired of calls from the principal and frequent suspensions? Get your child back on track before it's too late. Counseling and school programs in the home and community. Give Ms. Thomas a call today, 804-321-2595. The Metropolitan Day School and Counseling Services, 804-321-2595.
Put your business on the map for a lot less than you might think.
By two big to fail banks and Wall Street billionaires. Let's check the facts. In 2008, Obama got 20% of his campaign contributions from banks and Wall Street firms, totaling $150 million. As president, Obama collected, including but not limited to, $16.65 billion from Bank of America, which bought Countrywide, $13 billion from J.P. Morgan, $25 billion from Wells Fargo, including $300 million to go to black homeowners in a settlement with the bank and Obama basher Tavis Smiley. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, USB, HSBC paid in principal, interest, fines, fees, and penalties a record $5.7 trillion. Source, Wall Street Journal, June 14th, 2014. So much for Obama being in bed with the banks and Wall Street firms. Take that, Bernie Bots.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
New time, 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Brought to you by Urban Picks, America's first online streaming service dedicated to African-American movies and entertainment. Go to UrbanPicksNow.com. Urban Picks, black movies, black entertainment, black on demand.
Big John Trimble here to invite you to listen to my show, heard 6 to 9 each morning, Monday through Friday, right here on WCLM Radio. We play real country, bluegrass, 50s rock and roll, and comedy. We feature trivia contests and over-the-fence chats with our listeners and recording artists. If you'd like Dolly Parton, Conway Twitty and Alan Jackson, or maybe Etta James, Nat King Cole, and the Platters, then you'll like the Big John Trimble Show. Now back to Tanya Free, and by the way, if you're a blues and jazz fan like me, stick around here for Tanya's jazz program coming up.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
I mean, we were talking during the break as to how soon we think that President Obama should go ahead and name someone. And you all said right away. Right away meaning what?
Immediately.
We talking, okay, just like the Republicans didn't wait for Scalia to get cold, do you all think should be after the funeral? Or
definitely after the funeral, which is the next couple of days or
sure,
so.
Sure, sure.
But President Obama's a very deliberate guy. I think that he should allow the press and public opinion to gain momentum against those folk and let this be tried out in the press. Let the Republican candidates say what they have to say, the Democrats say what they have to say, public opinion, let the press build up before he comes out and makes his nomination. Because really and truly, they're already on his side. They've already taken his posture that he has the right to do.
Right.
So I think if he goes too soon, he takes away the momentum of the public and the press.
We are people that have short-term memory, and I think it should move a lot quicker. I think that by probably the second week in March, he should start naming folks so that this whole issue doesn't lose the momentum that you're speaking of. That's what I would think. And I say that for the standpoint, too. Go ahead and test the water. Start putting some names forward. And if the Republicans stick to their guns, then he knows that he will have to do it when they're in recess.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in recess the last 2 weeks, and if my investigation serves me correctly, last 2 weeks in March and then all the month of August. I wouldn't wait.
August?
Yeah, August. They take recess in August. I would not wait that long. I personally think that once he starts to test the waters and he see that they are not going to budge, then when they take their recess in August, I will go ahead and just do it. What do you think, James?
With all due respect to the death, you're some of the highest court in the land. Wait for what? I mean, by waiting, mm-hmm. what would be the difference? So he should act now. I mean.
So what are you saying? He should name a person, what, you're talking next week? 2 weeks from now?
If he has qualified candidates today.
Okay.
I'd say by the end of the month. By the end of the month. And again,
that's next week.
He wants it to be a campaign issue. Let it be a campaign mm-hmm. issue.
Well, let me ask.
But it's not a campaign.
Well, let me say this.
But it's not a campaign.
Well, it looks well. Just
me,
well,
it
people.
I mean, it is. They're making it one, but it's not a campaign issue.
Right.
It's the fact that the world must go on. The highest court of the land. We have a shortage.
Well, you
we
said
need to elect a person. So do it.
You well, said but you wanted not to be political. So that's your political posture. I'm telling you, politically, it's a red-hot campaign issue.
Right.
He wants it now and not wait until August.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, too, he has to be careful. He may not be able to play the same game that the Republicans are playing, whereas they have come out and said, okay, no, hold off. If he starts to look at people, you know, like tomorrow, will it look like he's being insensitive? I mean, the Republicans go against, you know, what he's trying to do and flip it. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, we're all just saying because we ain't got a nickel in that quarter on how they decide to roll this strategy out.
And the courts, just like the Senate, haven't been that active. If they do 4 or 5 cases a year, you know what I'm saying, it's not going to be that detrimental to us. I'm thinking that this
is
going to work.
Is.
I think it's going to work more to our advantage because
if what
the cases
if he does or doesn't
if he doesn't
James.
If he doesn't if he doesn't get anybody in that seat,
mm-hmm.
I think it works to his advantage because most of the cases before them have been states and individuals who have appealed his lower court decisions.
Okay, I see.
And
what
if
you're
he doesn't put anybody in that seat, then the lower court stands.
Stand. Okay, so I got you. I see what you're saying. That makes sense. Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, I think
especially with that affirmative action,
just let it build.
The voting. Okay.
And then
Grassley is who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's good too. But also too, we got to be careful that we don't lose focus, that we want to make sure that if a Democrat does not win the election, that he has, you know, we got to play both sides.
Well, again, you still have to have 60. So if the Republicans do want to put somebody up, they still have to have Democrats to come along with them.
Except,
so Democrats get to play the same silly game.
Except for nominations.
Right.
Except for nominations.
You can nominate.
You don't need 60 votes for nominations.
You can nominate. You know what I'm saying? He's looking at nominating people who went through unanimously.
Right, have already been affirmed.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
So,
right.
So he's a crafty guy.
Yeah.
I think he's always smarter than the Republicans. They just don't realize it. Okay, let's go to Real Brother.
Oh, good. Thank you for having me on the program. Great discussion.
Amen.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I think that Obama's strategy, and we have to look to the past to see what he's done. They haven't blocked not one nomination, not one Supreme Court nomination. So what we have to understand is, too, with this nomination, Ted Cruz has taken the lead in saying that we don't want President Obama to nominate anybody. Well, that means Donald Trump and Marco Rubio and Ben Carson and the other racists and sellouts in the Republican Party, it's a victory for them if Ted Cruz loses and Obama gets a nominee confirmed. Jeb Bush. So these individuals are going to say, we can stick it to Ted Cruz by nominating somebody and rushing them through, and then that takes Ted Cruz out of the game, because that's what they wanted to do anyway. Mm-hmm. They wanted to use Ted Cruz to get rid of Donald Trump and then get George Bush, the candidate that the establishment wants, in there. So
let me ask this question. You get rid of Ted Cruz by
blocking his stopping
Trump?
Of the nominee.
I think that helps Trump, I thought.
But for clarification, no one can stop him from nominating.
No, you got Trump, you got Cruz, you got Bush, you got Rubio, you got a splintered camp of racists. So whichever ones decide that they want to get the nominee blocked, then the other ones have to take the other position, or else that other person won. So Jeb Bush is going to say, no, he has a right to nominate who he wants to. Ted Cruz is going to say, no, he doesn't. And who's going to win? So it works in Obama's favor for him not to push the racist. Go up there and nominate the most racist person you can find, all right? Nominate George Zimmerman. And let them filibuster and block him. You see what I'm saying?
No.
So that's what he's going to do. One last thing. He did nominate in the 11th Circuit Court in Georgia a couple of racist judges, right, that were Republican, that were so hardcore conservative that all the black people were like, what the world's going on? Well, here's what was going on. Those judges didn't get any cases because the racists were suspicious of them because Obama nominated them. So if Obama nominates a judge that's conservative, is anybody that's really a conservative going to believe that that man's conservative? No. So he would be taking away that person's power simply by putting his arm around Governor Christie and making him his friend.
Okay, real brother, I can't follow
that's
you on that
how
one.
Obama's
I can't follow you on that one. No.
We're
not going to do that.
I told you guys about being wrong. Yeah.
Okay, don't
happen.
Worry.
Well, in a sense, I understand what real brother is saying, that if I make it seems like you're my friend and I'm putting you up there, it's going to make everybody who's around you feel suspicious of who you are and what you're doing, so I can't trust you simply because Obama's for you. I think, in a nutshell, that's what he's trying to say.
Now,
I understand that's exactly what he's trying to say, but real brother, I think that's trying to be too cute by
half. Yeah, I think so, too. No, I don't like that at all.
Too cute by half.
No, that can backfire. No, I can't go with you on that one. Real brother, tell everybody to listen to your show.
Yes, my show's on weekdays from 10 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. It's the alternative to conservative.
All righty. Thank you, friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much. All right, have a good day.
You too. I want to give a shout out to our friend Van, who's a little under weather. Get better, friend. Hope you feel better and get back with us soon. Oh, and also too, we got a birthday. Our friend Bill has a birthday. Happy birthday to you in New York. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the Democrats, and they are fighting for the African American vote. Hillary and Bernie Sanders, and she is really fighting for the African-American vote. and he is going at it just as strong. In fact, I saw an ad that really caught my attention. I don't know if you all saw it or not, but we're going to play it right now.
This is everything that I have, my family. Family should be important to everyone. Mostly, I like being a mother. Alyssa, she's 6 years old. That's my baby, my only child. She likes to read me books, sit down and talk with me about her school.
But there's a lot of sand in the car.
Recently, she just learned about Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King. She asked me, did Rosa Parks not give up her seat for a white man? And I said, yes. She said, but those in the old days, right, Mommy? And I had to explain to her that it's not really over. This is what Mommy is. I'm an activist. And the same thing Martin Luther King was, he fought for our rights. This is the same thing I'm doing in honor of her pop. My dad's name is Eric Garner. No one gets to see their parents' last moments, and I was able to see my dad die on national TV. They don't know what they took from us. He wasn't just someone that no one cared for him or no one loved him. He was loved dearly. Alyssa misses my dad. She tells me, are you okay, Mom? Do you miss Pop? She wished she was here. So her mom wouldn't be sad anymore. I'm just trying to get the truth out there to tell his side of the story. He was being the loving, caring man that he was, and he was murdered.
Every Tuesday.
For a whole year, I've protested, and every Tuesday and Thursday. I feel like a representative for people throughout this whole nation. Because I'm doing this, I'm speaking out, me being his daughter. And that's what I want to do. I just want to tell my truth. I'm never giving up. I'm never going to forget. And I don't want the world to forget what happened to my dad. Our people died for this. Martin Luther King died for this. Malcolm X died for this. And who were they? They was protesters. I'm behind anyone who's going to listen and speak up for us. And I think we need to believe in a leader like Bernie Sanders.
It is not acceptable to me that we have seen young black men walk down streets in this country, be beaten and be killed unjustly.
There's no other person that's speaking about this. People are dying. This is real. This is not TV. We need a president that's going to talk about it.
The African-American community knows that on any given day, some innocent person like Sandra Bland can get into a car, and then 3 days later, she's going to end up dead in jail.
I believe Bernie Sanders is a protester.
When a police officer breaks the law, that officer must be held accountable.
He's not scared to go up against the criminal justice system. He's not scared.
I want to see an America where when young black men walk down the street, they will not be harassed by police officers. They will not be killed. They will not be shot.
And that's why I'm from Bernie.
James, go to you first. When you saw that, what did you think?
One of the things I have... This year, for the first time, not get caught up. That was touching, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It touched my heart. Mm-hmm. However, it's more like a commercial. And I think we have to look at not all this rhetoric that's going on, but look at Clinton, Sanders, their past. How they have voted on things that affect us, like the economy, education, Social Security, the criminal justice, employment, health care, spirituality. All this, that's good. You know, kissing babies, we are being brainwashed. Because actually, we have to look
like
at...
You, Coleman.
Okay, well, hold your thought, baby. Take a break.
To Just Jazz on Saturday nights from 9 until 11 p.m. right here on Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network. Join me, Ty Bailey, as I showcase the best in jazz, current releases, reissues, and selections from past great recordings. It's all right here on Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network at TanyaFree.com. Just Jazz is also streamed 24 hours a day at TyBailey.com.
You're listening to AM/FM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Everybody wants cheap airfare, but where do you find it? You call low-cost airlines. Their prices are direct from the airlines, and they're so low you can't find these fares published anywhere. They specialize in cheap flights, discount hotel rooms, cheap car rental rates, and great package deals anywhere around the world. Wherever you want to go, they can help you get there cheaply and with a best price guarantee. If you want the lowest prices on your airline tickets or other travel services, call now. That's right, call. That's the only way to get these rates. Experts are standing by 24/7 to get you the cheapest airfare and hotel rates available. So don't wait. Call right now for the lowest travel prices anywhere and for great last-minute travel deals, too. Call right now. 800-708-3091. 800-708-3091. 800-708-3091. That's 800-708-3091.
Yeah.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Let's go to the phones. Reggie on line one. How are you, friend?
Hey, Tanya. How are you doing with your crew there?
I'm doing fine. We're all fine, I believe.
Hey, Reggie.
All right. I want to go back to the wave machine when Emmett Till was brutally murdered. And his mother said because of such a heinous crime done to her son, she wanted that casket open. And I kind of equate that, in my opinion, with the meet with Hillary Clinton and some leaders this past week in Harlem. Now, again, in all honesty, when I looked at the debate from both sides of the fence, they weren't talking about issues that concern me.
Right. I'm with you on that one.
I got to keep it 100. And sometimes, like the Black Panthers, God bless them, you have to agitate to take care of your community.
Mm-hmm.
And I get sick and tired of Negroes. This is like the Gresham Black Caucus. You guys are skinning and grinning up there, laughing, rather than sit back, hold your power, and see what kind of different issues you can move forward. And I make no bones about it. I wish Roger Gregg was on the short list. Now I'm hearing all of a sudden that black women should be next Supreme Court justice. But why in the hell weren't they the first pick when he put two on there before? You know, it just amazed me that black folks are told to shut up, be quiet by the Democratic Party.
And behave.
Some of us are. Not everybody. Some of us are.
You know, and I'm sorry, Tyler, I got to go back to the Gresham Black Caucus. I mean, the first time when President Obama was trying to get a lot of his agenda across, they could have really held firm and said, no, this is what's happening in our community, and you need to help us. And again, Bernie Sanders comes out and says, well, I'm going to the new center at Virginia State. That would have been on a national level. We could have showed off our crown jewel building, that new facility. No, we're not going to go. I'm like, really? I mean, why do we keep giving these people a pass? You know, it just really insults me. And I just got to say again, as far as the Supreme Court justice that just passed, why should I mourn the loss of a person that's in the Texas decision that black people are in fear when it comes to education? Do you think if a Jewish person would mourn the death of Hitler or somebody with what he said? So, I'm not going to feel bad about that guy.
You keeping it showing up real.
Show what he thought about us.
Okay. You keeping it for real, for real. I'll tell you about this thing, the show.
Hey, Saturday, last week we had signing day with HBCU. We're going to follow up on that. And hopefully a future show we're going to have the union ladies on, because those union pants and ladies are doing the darn thing.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
We go to line two to Ann in North Carolina. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I know you all are not speaking on the subject, but I wanted to talk about President Obama's possibly next Supreme Court nomination.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should select a black female at this point, because we really need someone on that bench, and I think he need to get somebody that's not really too conservative but kind of balance it out. And I would have thought Valerie Jarrett, since she his, I don't want to use the word special assistant, but she works closely with him, I would think Valerie Jarrett would at least put a plug in his ear that he needs to consider a black female for the next Supreme Court justice for Scalia's replacement.
Okay, I have heard Loretta Lynch's name mentioned.
I've heard the same thing too.
I
think somebody mentioned the woman out of California, which I don't think she would make a very good candidate for that position though. But I think I hope he really consider a black female, because Sawyer Monto, I would have thought he would have selected a black female back then. But I was really disappointed. I mean, it's nothing wrong with her being a Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
but I would have thought he would at least have some consideration in looking to select a black female for a seat on that bench.
Now, trying to get a black female appointed was going to be like really pulling. He's having a hard time now. That would probably have to be done when the Senate is in recess, for sure. Would you agree with that?
Right, correct, because either way, they're still going to, because I understand they have to go through this approval process, mm-hmm. you know, this dog and pony show that the Republicans been doing for the past 8 years.
Right.
But still, I really hope he gets a black female in there, because he should get a black female for that position.
Okay, we need to let our voice be heard then.
Oh, definitely. I agree. Well, I agree. I hope Valerie Jarrett can at least put a plug into him, since she works so closely with him.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But I don't know. But hopefully, I really hope he consider a black female for
okay.
that position.
Well, I agree with you on that. Thank you, Ann. We appreciate it.
Burka.
All right. Thanks a lot.
What did you say, John? Bill?
My only comment is we got to be careful, you know, black female.
Mm-hmm.
We have Justice Thomas, a black male. So it has to be more than just.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
That's where I was
that's
going.
That's a really good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
The fact is, it's astounding when you learn about how differently black folk reared in the North and in the West are tone deaf often about the trials of black folk reared in the South.
Yeah.
Robert Bob came here from California, had no clue about what life was like in the South.
Right.
Not to even mention the Deep South.
Mm-hmm.
And many of his decisions were simply tone deaf. Now, Alma Marie Barlow, Sister Alma Marie Barlow, who used
Alma
to represent public housing tenants citywide here, died in 93. Lord, I miss her so. She told me before she died, and I made myself a student of Alma Marie Barlow. Took her everywhere she went. But my point is that she said, Marty, middle-class black people are going to be responsible for putting the rest of us back in slavery. And I said, oh, Alma, that can't happen. We've come too far. Things are moving. There are too many moving parts. She said, you mark my words. And lo and behold, it's happening as we speak. Our black elected officials in this state legislature are pathetic. Our black folk on this city government are worthless as...
Oh, my.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh,
they stand for nothing.
No, but you got a point. You got a point.
No,
yes, he does. Yes, he does.
It's kind of a point. But we spent the up until the 60s to be integrated. Then once we have gotten the education, once we have gotten into the corporate boardrooms, once we have been somewhat acculturated and mainstreamed ourselves, don't mean that you've got to revert back to living in Wickham Cup. And
no,
I
let me
make my point.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
My point is, we haven't had enough time from the 60s to now to really feel the effects of being assimilated and acculturated. We've got to give ourselves time, and you can't.
How much time do we need, Bill? Come on, man.
For as long as it takes. For as long as it takes.
It's been 50 years, Bill.
It's been 50
and
years,
you've
but it's been longer than
been
that.
A blue
no.
dog
Look,
Democrat
let,
that is a gradualist like Hillary Clinton. When Bernie is saying, the system is broke, y'all.
Right.
Let's break it in order to fix it.
Well,
and I don't need gradualism. My grandkids can't stand more gradualism.
Well, all you have to do is not make your grandson part of the problem. Make sure that he is getting an education. Make sure he's not a part of the criminal justice system. Yes, that's how you do it.
No,
yes, that's how you do it.
We all are not going to do that because
exactly.
We've left the middle class, left poor folk. They migrated to county. They left left in the city virtually other than you, me, and three
put
others.
Put them in private school.
Well,
wait a minute. Hold on.
Bill, jump in. James, jump in here.
Wait a minute. He lives in the suburbs. And his kids go to private schools.
And what's wrong with that? You can do
That's exactly
you, is
the
nothing
point.
Wrong. No.
He's
but what? No. But wait a minute. Well, Marty is saying that we have left poor folks behind because once you do that, then you forget to come back and help somebody else. That's
and
the problem.
And blame them for their pathologies.
And right.
We blame them harder than white folks do.
Yeah, and that's very true. Go ahead.
My kids are in private settings for the education component.
Right.
I know who I am. I'm not sensitive because a lot of times
you want the best for your children.
Right. Right. And what's wrong with that?
We all do.
And what's wrong with that?
You can't sit up and say that we've left folk behind. You can't do that.
Some folks have sat on that city council
and you've sat in that seat. And you was an advocate. I've sat there too.
They ain't gonna bust a grape for nobody but themselves.
And you got a lot of that with the NAACP and other organizations. Where are they? You not see them marching and protesting like Dr. King? Go ahead, James. You outnumber the day, Bill.
Yeah, I am. But it take all y'all to make the size equal. If y'all can get my time here.
I think that sometimes it's the psychology of black folks. Once we are elected, because we know where we came from, but once we get there, we kind of lose it because now we feel we are part of them.
No.
My opinion. And I think a lot of times we have to stay the course, our purpose, not rubbing elbows with your neighbor or...
You're hitting it right on the head, James. Look, we traded. We only been free for 50 years since the signing of the Civil Rights Act. Right? And we made progress. Nobody denies that. But by and large, those of us who made it most have traded freedom, true freedom, for acceptance.
Right.
That's what you're talking about.
Wait. Okay.
We make excuses for them Negroes. When our folks are doing poorly or behaving poorly and all this other stuff, and then cast a broad net and say, oh, that's how they are, as if you separate yourself from your own people.
When you get into politics, you have to work within a framework and a system.
I ain't talking about just politics.
Well, everything is politics. Marty, I can give you a lift home. But you ain't going to get in my car and drive. I can help you get there.
But you ain't driving my car.
And the point is, we have to work within the system. You're not going to get... You were an advocate. I was self-employed and worried about being fired.
So I get your point.
But yes, you can make that point. But everybody can't work there. And a lot of times, you don't know what these folk are doing or what kind of compromises and situations to do. Our biggest problem is passing judgment on folk who are working behind the scenes. I was told by a prominent black person, he said, Bill, your success is going to be in what you can get put into the budget. I had plenty of money put in the budget for the 3rd District. Now, my predecessor came and overthrew me, and the black folk who put me out did not understand how many millions of dollars I had in the budget. And when the new mayor came in, he took that money because the neophyte that beat me did not know and did not talk to me. My point is, to sit up there and make a blanket that, oh, these Negroes and these, this, that, and the other, that is the biggest problem we've got.
And Bill, how long ago has that been? Since you were on camera?
Okay, well, I tell you what, y'all hold that thought. We got Black Talk Commentary.
I'm just one a minute.
Our friend, Scott Rick, you can have your minute when we come back.
I'm going to be glad Tyrone is here.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying
daughters cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The endorsement of Hillary Clinton by members of the Congressional Black Caucus and their super PAC filled with lobbyists is exposing the class rifts in the black community. Political rifts between those who represent 40 years of black establishment politics and a new generation of activists under the umbrella of Black Lives Matter. The rift between establishment blacks who have access to the highest offices of the land and funded by corporations and the black people who are the targets of the Clinton's mass incarceration policies of the 90s was on display in a recent MSNBC news segment that featured Mark Morial of the Urban League and Muhyiddin Dabaha of Black Lives Matter, Charleston, South Carolina. Dabaha says Hillary Clinton wants to dictate to Black Lives Matter and that she does not want to engage them or any of their policy proposals, so she is relying on the establishment blacks the Clintons have used in the past to corral black votes. Mark Morial denies the existence of a division in the black community, and he feels that the contest between Clinton and Bernie Sanders should not be allowed to divide the black community. However, regardless of what Mr. Morial wants, the fact is, class divisions within the black community are real and have existed for quite some time. The last time that division was on display was when Bill Cosby was celebrated by establishment blacks for his highly divisive and mean-spirited pound cake speech, which sought to demonize blacks in poor communities that were targeted by the Clintons and Republicans in the 90s to garner support for welfare reforms that have proven disastrous for not only poor black people, but poor people in general. It seems a new generation of black folks are rising up to boldly declare that they will not go along with establishment politics and they are making themselves heard. It seems a new political revolution is underway in the black community in the 21st century, and it is long overdue. This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio Weekly Commentary. Join me and other independent black media producers on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
This is Tanya Free. The Capital Area Health Network is Medicare and Medicaid approved. Caring and dependability are the principles we live by, providing you and your loved ones with quality dental, medical, and pediatric care for over a decade. That's why the Capital Area Health Network is the heart of the community. Now with extended hours at the Northside Medical Center, 2809 North Avenue, from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., we are here for you. Call 780-0840. That's 780-0840. Accepting most insurance plans.
Join the conversation.
Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill. I told you, promised you would have your minute.
I forgot what my minute was for. Come on, there, Bob.
Well, let me say this. I'm going to piggyback on what Scotty's commentary was about just now, because we spoke about it a minute ago, James and I, when we were off the air before, and how I was watching Mark Morial the other day. I think it was CNN. And they were asking him with regards to who was worthy of the vote, and he, of course, he was supporting Hillary Clinton. And I was waiting for the reason as to why he felt that way. And the only thing I heard him say that didn't make any sense to me was that she was familiar with the African American community. And I'm like, why is that a reason? Why is that a reason? Being familiar will not put food on my table, pay my bills. It has to be more than familiar. What is she going
to
do for us?
Deaf, dumb, and blind, not be familiar with black people.
Yeah, everybody.
And it's
nothing new. Okay, Bernie Sanders was probably in the room when everybody was protesting on college campuses. Everybody was doing it. So he was there.
He was more than just there. Okay, he was actually on the front line opposing the fact that they were discriminating against blacks
and
the housing.
I have not heard him say or come out front the whole time he's been in the Senate. Did he make that statement on the Senate floor about black folk and the police and the way they've been treated? Has that been said on the Senate floor?
Well, has Hillary made that point? Okay, that's what I thought.
No, that is not the point. Because I'm not...
Yes,
I'm,
it is.
No, because I'm not coming at her
and,
from that.
And then look at her husband and all the bills and stuff that he has passed that has hurt us.
Oh, and again, when I was on council, you know one thing? Y'all need to do something about these kids out here selling drugs. You need to do this. You need to go and do something. So I was angry because you calling me to come out there and lock your
13,
son up.
13 you calling people me. Called you. 13 people called you.
You
know
and you
were
going to spread
that across the whole black population.
That's not it. That's not it. When 13 when crime was rampant in this city and drug use was rampant in this city, we went to the to cities, not just Richmond. We went to the government and said, y'all need to crack down on crime. So at our request, the police departments and everybody ramped up locking up people when it should have been a health issue rather than a criminal issue. We did that.
Okay? You did so that.
You I did too. James, jump in here, James.
What
jump
are you
in
talking
here.
About?
Yeah, we did.
What
we
white man?
I respect both of these.
What
I respect
we,
both
okay,
of these
let,
gentlemen.
Let James get in here. Go ahead, James.
I respect both of these gentlemen. But I think for our listeners, so that they can make some sound decision between Hillary and Sanders, we need to create a political report card. Look first at the experience.
Right.
You can, on the internet, go to their website and judge as if you were hiring them for a job. Look at both sides of their experience. It's clearly there.
How effective do you think he's going to be when he gets to that Senate?
Secondly, what Senate?
Okay, wait a minute. Let James finish. Go ahead, James.
Secondly, look how they have the issues that concern you. Actually, so
right.
What issues concerns me? Like, for me, the economy, education, affirmative action. How have they voted in the past? And if once they are president, where do you think they're going from there?
Mm-hmm.
So, because a lot of times, y'all make good points, but I think a lot of times the average person is not as sophisticated as you are when it comes to politics. They just vote.
Well, they're listening to talking points, and that's why, in my opinion, we don't need any more debates.
No.
We've heard from both sides, and I'm still waiting for Hillary to come out bold, just like Sanders did with that commercial. I think he took a real risk and a real chance to come out as bold as he did.
He has nothing to lose.
Yes, he does. Scotty, go ahead.
Greetings, afternoon to everyone.
Hey, how are you, friend?
I'm okay. I want to piggyback off of what the last person speaking was talking about. These people have long records, okay? And he is right about the general voting public, including the black community, mm-hmm. is that we really don't do our research. Right. We really don't do our due diligence, and that's why we fall for talking points like Hillary Clinton's familiar with the black community. Come on, what does that mean?
Exactly.
What does that mean? We're familiar with the Clintons.
Right.
I'm familiar with the welfare reform bill. I'm familiar with the Clinton crime bill. So I'm familiar with her, too.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's just a talking point. And for John Lewis to sit up there and say, I never saw Bernie Sanders. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you met hundreds of thousands of people that were involved in the civil rights movement. And again, these candidates have records. While Hillary Clinton was attending a segregated school in a Chicago suburb, Bernie Sanders was on the front lines fighting against segregation in Chicago.
Right.
He was a member of SNCC. You know, John Lewis should know that. Okay?
Right.
And he was also a member of CORE.
That's right.
You know?
Right.
And the question was asked, well, did Bernie Sanders say this on the Senate floor about what? The mass incarceration? Yes, there is a video from him from C-SPAN from the 1990s arguing on the floor saying that that crime bill was really just a punishment bill, a revenge bill, and that it was going to disproportionately lock up poor and black people.
Yes.
And that's something he knows about being poor. He knows what that is like and not having. If you go back and look at his record.
So I'm with you, Tanya. Just like Hillary Clinton want to criticize those Boston Black Lives Matter activists when they try to get and talk down to them and saying, well, what's your proposals and what's your policy and all that? Well, look, what is her proposal?
Right. She barely gave them the time of day.
I know Bernie Sanders introduced a bill to abolish 21st century slavery and human trafficking as practiced by the private prisons.
Mm-hmm.
That bill would abolish that. I know that he supports removing cannabis from the DEA scheduled list of most dangerous drugs with no medicinal benefit, something that President Obama refused to even do as the executive officer of the executive branch, and he could easily do that, and the Republicans can't do nothing about it. But he wants to ignore the science. So Bernie Sanders also introduced a bill to get the federal government out of cannabis regulation.
What is his success rate? What did he get done? And what makes you think he's going to do this?
He may not have succeeded, but at least he tried.
At least he tried. The president ain't going to succeed.
What did Barack Obama get done? See, we want to talk about, well, Barack Obama couldn't do nothing because of the Republicans and this and that. But then we want to say, well, what can Bernie Sanders do? Well, what can Hillary Clinton do? Hillary Clinton is hated universally.
Yeah.
By Republicans.
Yeah, she is. I agree with you, Scotty. I'm not feeling Hillary at all. I think she is still part of the establishment, and she got these talking points. I have not heard anything she's spoken about specifically what she's going to do for us. For as long as she has been in office and all of these black leaders getting behind her and the way, and like I said, all I heard Mark Morial say is that we're familiar with her. Okay, and then what?
Exactly. Where are the policies that she criticized Black Lives Matter for not having? Which they actually do have policy proposals, but she ain't trying to touch them. She ain't trying to end private prisons in this country. She can say she wants to. Well, where's her plan?
Right.
Is she endorsing Bernie's bill to abolish private prisons and jails? So again, I'm not coming from a place, even though I'm passionate about politics, I am not coming from a place of emotion. I study, I research, and both of these candidates have been in the public eye for what, 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
20 years? So there's a lot there. And I just can't keep going along with establishment politics and people making promises that they do not intend to keep.
I agree. I agree with you.
I can't roll like that. And the last thing I want to point out is black lives do not matter to Hillary Clinton. Because if they mattered to Hillary Clinton when she was sitting over there in Libya while all them Arab militias that they used to overthrow Gaddafi went on an ethnic cleansing spree, murdering all those African immigrants based on the lies of the Obama administration that they were mercenaries hyped up on Viagra going around raping people. Tens of thousands of Africans were murdered under the direct direction and supervision of Hillary Clinton, who laughed and joked and said, "We came, we saw, he died." Well, a whole lot of black lives don't matter to Hillary Clinton. I will vote for Donald Trump before I vote for Hillary Clinton. Thank you.
Okay.
Can you email your study to Tanya?
Scotty?
Still there? Can you email that research you did to Tanya Free?
Yeah, and I'll send a copy to you.
What are y'all looking for? Video of him on the floor? Or what?
No, the research that you just laid out too. about what he has propounded on about his early civil rights activity and the like. And
I'll tell you what, Mark.
I have that. I have that already.
Oh, you got it already?
Yeah, I saw it. I think Mother Jones had a complete bio.
Yes, they did.
Mother Jones has a complete bio of Bernie Sanders.
All I'm saying is Hillary Clinton, by her own definition, is a gradualist. Bernie Sanders is a revolutionist. It depends on how long you want your ass kicked as to which one you choose.
Get your ass out the way.
Real simple. You want it gradual, or you want to fight in and break the habit of getting my tail kicked now.
And like you, I have grandchildren, and my grandchildren can't wait for things to gradually change for the better.
Should be our posture.
That should be our
It ain't even about us. We ain't here long.
I agree.
Let me say something. I'm not in the bag for none of these people. You understand? If black lives gonna matter, it need to matter to us. And it don't matter to us. It should matter to us.
It does matter to us. And your point being?
That one of the things not going to happen is my kids ain't going
to
be out there.
Which candidate do you think black lives matter to?
I'll tell you, I'm not going
to
get in line.
You think it really matters to Hillary?
I don't. She's just one of how many people's going to be there?
Okay, but she is one of two that are on the ballot. Okay, right. So my question to between the two. Who are you looking for?
I think that she's a more of an established person than Bernie Sanders is.
Okay.
Exactly. She is a political person.
Well, I tell you, I got a hold of today's smooth jazz break is Chicago Dam by Bobby Humphrey, sponsored by Hong Kong Tailors.
Hong Kong Tailors at 3200 West Broad has been catering to your needs for over 40 years. Custom-made suits, shirts, pants, coats, and more. Need that special outfit today? No problem. Visit their extensive selection of ready-made fashion and accessories for both men and women. The smart way to shop and a better way to dress. Mention Tanya Free and receive a 10% discount on your next purchase. That's Hong Kong Tailors, 3200 West Broad, 804-359-5441.
With Freedom Marketing. Text the word ADVERTISE to 63975 or give them a call at 844-321-1010. That's Freedom Marketing, 844-321-1010.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Here's why. Dish has the nation's lowest TV price, along with an award-winning DVR that can skip commercials, record 8 shows at once, and get access to thousands of movies at your fingertips. Cable simply can't even compare. So the smart choice is to cut the cable and get Dish. Plus, you get all these great TV features, free HD DVR upgrade, free installation, and free movie channels. Say goodbye to cable and get more with Dish TV. 800-818-3967. 800-818-3967. As an added bonus, you can switch to Dish now and receive a $50 Visa gift card. So call now and get Dish TV. Call 800-818-3967. 800-818-3967. That's 800-818-3967. Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification required. Cancellation fee, monthly equipment fees, and other restrictions apply. Promotion can change at any time.
Ragging trims, kinda hard to get a job back out on the block.
Charge that to the game.
Young girl, she grew up in a rush. Had it bad, no doubt. She don't know who to trust. Every man she ever loved, only wanna crush.
Charge that to the game.
But it's all gravy. Hey, baby. Shots get popped. The cops shut down the party. Jeans sag low. Blow smoke out of Dutchess. We got love for y'all, wish I don't love
us. Spinning in suburban streets and lanes. Spend up all our gold and chrome and things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Out kissing funny names. Don't hate on us,
no,
fabulous. No. We paint signs for local calls.
Yeah.
Little guys and demons up at the mall.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Okay, I have to announce that Sandra Bland's family, I don't know if his mother, whoever, has endorsed Hillary Clinton. And my question is this, where were they when, you know, we were dealing with the issue when it actually happened, especially Hillary? You know, she's supposed to be for black people and she wants our vote. Where was she?
When
that's my question.
Happened.
Yeah, when it actually happened.
Right away.
Oh, I wasn't Hillary. There. I wasn't there either, but I thought it was on the trial.
You're not running for the office, though.
Yeah, but I thought it was on the trial.
But you are not running for office. She
doesn't
is running
matter.
For
it
office.
It doesn't matter. You can't
she wants
do
our
everything.
Vote. You're not asking
you
for our
do
vote.
Everything.
I know you are truly okay. A Hillary supporter. You
That's
should go,
it. It
you should go and get
a. But I think she's more capable of doing the holistic things that we need than Bernie Sanders is.
She's capable of doing the same. She is not a bit more interested in breaking up the banks than a man on the moon.
I do not believe that.
They're supporting her campaign. Why was she?
Why? When you start talking about the things she's done for children's health care, for women's rights, that's 50% of the population right there. And the things that she has attempted to do, and being a second banana behind her husband and everybody else, from being first lady of Arkansas to being the first lady of the state of the United States, and then being the senator from New York where 9/11 happened, and those people were her constituents, and having the wherewithal to have been Secretary of State, which has given her a broader knowledge of world politics. You know, she's not sitting up there to come to my house and tell my son what to do or to tell what to eat. That's not her job.
Well, here's what we can do. We had Richmond Crusade for Voters meeting last night. And we had this professor from University of Richmond, a brother, professor of leadership and something, something, something. Anyway, we had a talk about Richmond history. And we talked about how the Crusade for Voters was cited by two U.S. presidents as one of the most effective get-out-the-vote organizations in the country. But what we had then, we've lost, and we're trying to get it back.
Right.
Our job is voter registration, voter education, and get out the vote. That should be our emphasis. We're not educating our voters. And so we can register them all day long. They're not showing up at the polls.
Right.
Because we're not educating them to motivate them. So that's our focus this year. We're going to do that research that you're talking about. We're going to research and vet these candidates before we... Normally, we would interview the local candidates. We interview the national candidates, of course. But we can do that research on all of them, even the national ones, and educate our public as to what we find.
And
exactly.
That's our job.
And those cliquish politicians, they never supported me. Okay, because they are in
because
the clique.
Because you're a blue dog Democrat.
I don't make no difference who
I'm
I am.
I'm a yellow dog Democrat. And there's a difference.
You can't have no salad without crouton. It doesn't take no. It doesn't take no one way to make nothing happen.
No, he didn't say that.
Okay, all right. But one of the things, and like you said, James, and very vividly, that we have to educate and look at the background of every candidate. And I am going to post, if I can, that Mother Jones article on Bernie Sanders and see if I can find one as well on Hillary Clinton. The one on, I saw an article Michelle Alexander did one on why we should not vote for Hillary Clinton. It was, in my opinion, a very good article. Mm. And I'm going to try to post all of that on TanyaFree.com so that we can learn about these candidates, because that's where we go wrong and actually allow ourselves to be led without educating ourselves and having any knowledge as to who we're voting for.
Correct.
If you're just going to throw your vote out there, then just toss a coin.
Well, that's it.
Just toss a coin.
Let's understand that we are not a monolithic people either. We're going to vote our conscience. Vote what's good for us, okay? I'm not going to vote.
How are you going to vote what's good for you if you don't know what that is or who that is?
What's
and you're going by, oh, I'm familiar because I know Hillary Clinton's name, and I know her husband, and she's been Secretary of State. And how is that
going to
put food on your table? Once again, how is that going to put food on your table,
educate your kids, or change your grandchildren's life? You're not going to put food on your table
and
become a raising my taxes.
Gradually. If you go for Clinton, you'll get food on the table for your children.
I don't need her to put no food on my table.
You'll get it
gradually. I'm going to get food on my table.
You'll get it in the by and by.
Some of these thugs out here, they're going to
put food
on
their
table
too. All the rest of black
folks. We going to eat.
Who
aren't red
hot.
And it ain't going to take Taylor to do it. She's not going to do it.
She's not going to do what?
She's not going to put no food on my table. I'm not going to turn away no Hillary Clinton to put food on my table.
Okay.
You're crazy.
Now you're going to get literal. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right,
but that's our problem.
But don't try it. Don't try it.
We sit up
come
there.
Come on, Bill. Come on, Bill. Because we got folks that are listening.
You got to vote the
we got folks that are listening. And we need to be able to be purposeful and get out the information like
we
James
need
said,
to be doing more
so
for
that
ourselves.
We as a people will vote wisely.
Right.
That's the thing. Vote wisely. Not vote based on because of, you know, the National Urban League or the congressman.
Or free this and free that and free the other.
You're talking about.
There we go.
We cannot do that.
That's the blue dog again.
Yeah, a political pied piper with a bag full of I'm going to give you something.
Okay.
So we just vote for Sanders because he's giving something free away.
Look,
is that what it is?
Well, at least.
Because he's talking about all these gimmicks.
Well, the thing is this.
Wait a minute.
Like James said before, we need to look at what they've done before they won an out vote.
I'm talking about what are you able to do tomorrow?
Not much. Can anybody else get in here?
You don't have your turn.
Go ahead, Marty.
Listen. We're better off with either Clinton or Sanders as president.
I agree.
Let's get that part out of the way.
Amen.
But we can't get the foaming at the mouth over the two when Republicans have black people on a wholesale attack on every front. You just said it on voter redistricting, mm-hmm. on voter suppression,
right.
on the Voting Rights Act attack itself, yes. on affirmative action, on voting down jobs programs when black folk need work worse than a dog need a bone, on law enforcement, on the courts that allow them to rip our people to shreds day in and day out, on economy where they are allowing these filthy, payday lenders mm-hmm. to ravage our people and suck wealth out of our community. I mean, I can go on till I'm blue in the face
okay.
on where they have us under attack.
Well, my question is...
Hold it. You ain't heard not one leader say what I just said just now.
Right. And that's my question. Out of the two, which one will represent us better and be able and want to tackle? I'm asking James. You're right.
Look at police brutality that we've seen recently in the media. Which one of the two candidates have actually come out against Zimmerman or any of the other court cases?
Bernie Sanders in that ad.
I mean, in that ad.
Right.
Because
when they did the town hall meeting, he spoke about it as well.
No. I'm talking about at the time that
the incident occurred. Okay.
Those are the things we should look at. That ad is touching. I mean, you don't have a heart.
The Zimmerman thing happened.
But
I'm only
using Zimmerman. A lot of other things have happened since then. Yeah. Beans and a lot of other things.
Well, let's think about it.
My question is, which one of those people have come to the forefront? Well, we have actors because they had the power to do it.
Right.
They had the power to take a position. I don't remember seeing either Hillary or Sanders.
I don't know whether you will unless you research it. We haven't done the research,
and that's what I want to do.
So we need to research
as minute as that. Then should help you formulate who you should vote for based upon those things that will affect us. Things like that.
Okay.
Now again, I'm like you. I am a Hillary fan. I mean, I like her.
I'm glad. I'm gonna move you over here to the side of the table. Come on, you move it over here.
You stay right there, Coleman. Yeah. You're doing good.
I'm not
necessarily for Hillary Clinton.
But listen to me. Sanders has impressed me. And now I can look at Hillary differently now because I have a choice.
Right.
And
I'm gonna use my vote wisely.
And we got time.
I just don't have enough information.
Let me say this. One of the other things that I like Sanders for is because of the young people. The young people see something in Sanders that they do not see in Hillary. And it's going to take young people to step up, and I think you said it once before, that are part of this new movement to bring about change in our communities.
Yes, raise consciousness.
Yeah, it's the young people. Mm-hmm. The Black Lives Matter and Eric Garner's daughter. I think it's the young people, and one of the reasons why we are seeing him come to the forefront is because of the young people. And Hillary is not even tapping into that.
And the Occupy movement got the young people started in this vein. Everybody says, well, they didn't stand for anything. I don't know why they did what they did. The Occupy people brought to the attention of the world this 1% in which they have reached down Wall Street, reached down to the top of the economy, and scooped out trillions of dollars and left us with nothing. And if we're not going to start this conversation realizing the fundamental fact that ordinary workers, wage earners, have not received an increase in their wages adjusted for inflation in 30 years, while the 1% has increased by 450%. We're all being ripped off,
y'all.
And I have a question. Take
Sanders out of the picture.
Right.
Okay.
Fine.
Now, between Trump and Hillary, I want your opinions to who you think would make a better president. Just take Sanders out of the picture for now.
That's me.
I'm almost like Scotty. I just despise Hillary. I honestly do.
No, I mean, that's personal. No, listen, Hillary, that's it's okay. No. It's okay. I respect you. It's okay if you despise what she stands for. But between Hillary and looking at Hillary's resume and look at Trump, who would you honestly vote for?
Let me respond to you.
All right, Hillary has been on the ground as far as before there was Obamacare, there was Hillary Care, and they crushed her.
Yeah.
Okay, trying to get health care for young for children. Okay, Donald Trump, number one, born with a silver spoon in his mouth and given an advantage just to get
Hillary
into the game.
Hillary has won her mouth now. Okay, go ahead.
But he has used zoning laws and special dispensations from the city to make billions of dollars in the real estate industry and special rules on the ground. He has used cheap labor, but when you compare her to him, hands down is Hillary. I just don't understand it. If you're going to vote your own
interest.
Well,
I'm going to send you this article by Michelle Alexander, and once I read that, I just
do you think
and that, once I get money, I'm gonna put it on my website.
Do you think that
between the two of them? Listen again. You got to be careful about the other ones who do things to you, and the Republican Party is manufactured to do things to us, and so it's a no-brainer. Whether you hold your nose or not, you ain't kidding me. You would vote for Hillary over Donald. The fact is,
well, let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's take a break
to rip us off.
I'm glad. That's what I was about to say.
Us while we pray for you. Every day we pray for you. Till the day we meet again. In my heart is where I keep you, friend. Memories give me the strength I need to proceed. Strength I need to believe. My thoughts big, I just can't define. Wish I could turn back the hands of time. Us in the six. Shop for new clothes and kicks. You and me taking flicks. Making hits. Stages they receive you on. Still can't believe you're gonna give anything to hear half your breath. I know you're still living your life after death.
This is Coffee Black, coming through to bring you the latest in sports, celebrity, and entertainment news. Here's the sip this week. Kanye finally dropped his music over the weekend. Great. Now we can get past all the theatrics. Apparently he dissed Taylor Swift, but she said she talked it over with him and it was her idea. And Kanye's still crazy, but this time it's all about the music. So about Beyonce. My hypothesis is Jay told her to hold off until Kanye released his album before she dropped hers, even though her tickets have been selling out. But I appreciate the courtesy. If just Al Gore broke up with his girlfriend and baby mama, maybe for Naomi Campbell, but she still got it. I'm just saying. Check out my site, thesipwithcoffeeblack.com, and tune in next week on musicexchangeradio.com for The Sip with Coffee Black. No sugar, no cream.
letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-605-4650. 800-605-4650. 800-605-4650. Again, 800-605-4650.
There's so much going on, it's crazy. Trouble all around. Oh, I'll tell you something, I'm not gonna let it get down. Oh, I've been going through some funky changes. Changes all the same. Oh, we'd like to join, but we can't really stay.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now at area code 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 coast to coast.
Let me go back and clarify when you asked the question as to who I would vote for between Trump and Hillary. I don't think Trump is a true Republican. I don't. I really don't. And that's why the Republicans are having such a hard time. One, they can't do anything with him. Two, they are afraid if he does get the nomination. And I think if he was elected president, he would shake up the whole system. And one of the things I think we need, that's the problem with our system, is broken. And we need a complete shakeup. And so everybody, all of us would be on the same playing field. They wouldn't know what to do with Trump. Hillary, to me, would be the same old, same old. That's the reason why I was, you know, hesitant when you said Hillary. I just think we just need a total shakeup with our political system because it is broken like no other.
Which
and
is
I
to
am
say
tired
that
of the
Bernie
same
Sanders
old, same
is
old.
Already shaking it up.
Right.
Because 20
and
years
so,
ago,
and 20, so is Trump.
20 years ago, Bill Clinton did the sister soldier thing, right?
Yeah, and look what we got.
Wait a minute. He publicly attacked Sister Soldier to show conservative white people that I ain't no punk for black people. That's what he did that for. This time around, Bernie Sanders is out front saying, I support black people, I respect their history, and they need to catch a break. And I support that. That's worlds apart from where we were 20 years ago. So he's already shaking up this thing and changing the discourse and changing the essence of the conversation.
Yes, but his question was between the two, Trump and Hillary.
You think
Hillary would actually shake up something?
I don't think she need to.
She's a gradualist. That means she ain't about shaking up nothing. Don't you
right,
get it?
And that's why I was like leaning towards Trump because he is shaking up stuff. Go ahead and shake everything up and, you know, let's start all over again.
Yeah, but you want to roll the dice.
Exactly. Let's roll it and see what happens.
You wake up
and find
that
with Hillary, I'm not
going to
gain anything. The way I see it. Heck. Just go ahead and just blow it all up.
I hear you, baby.
Go ahead and blow. So everybody send a comment to me. That's where I am.
Look. We as black folk have a better opportunity than any time in my history, which has been a couple of years, to make a point and stay on that point and clarify our points and continue to march. It's not going to start all over again, but we are starting from a better place, headed into the future with a better consciousness and more economic opportunity, more influence. And who can we influence the most? This young man and I sit up there and looked at Straight Outta Compton a couple of days ago. It's the same thing is happening. The police beating you up, folk rioting and burning, the system not responding to you. But as of today, with an opportunity to affect who goes into that office, and we've got an opportunity to do that. It didn't start 50 years ago. It's not going to end today. But the best person, the best well-rounded person to do this for us is not somebody coming out there doing what they've always done. I'm going to get to you, and I'm going to give you something free, and at whose expense? When are you going to open up the door so I can get it for myself? That's what has got to happen. Yes. That's been my mantra. That's going to continue to be my mantra. And Bernie Sanders ain't it. He's a political Pied Piper. You better pay attention.
Yes. Okay, and think about this. We expected that same thing from President Obama.
Yeah.
Well, I think Obama has done well. What we try to do is reduce the man to being anything other than a world leader. I don't expect him to come into my neighborhood and do nothing for me, but open up the door so I can get access and opportunity.
Sorry, we didn't play that song for you.
Well, that's it. Give me. I'm gonna give something to you,
James. What do you have to say about that? What's your response?
It sounds like a perfect Republican, doesn't it?
He does. Yeah.
I mean, right off the talking points of Republican.
Yeah,
party.
Really. And I'm tired. I am so tired of talking points.
And ain't nothing wrong with being a Republican.
I'm an ordinary Republican.
Again,
James.
This has been interesting to me. Even today, it's more leaning towards Sanders than before, because education, mm-hmm. hearing your points, mm-hmm. everybody on the panel.
I'm all about education now.
Yeah,
I'm all about it.
Has been very,
but not free.
Education to me, as far as making a decision.
Sure.
Now, I was a Clinton fan, not as much today. Now, if I voted, saying that I wouldn't vote for Trump, but let me say that.
Well, when you see this article by Michelle Alexander, you just wait. You may change your mind. Okay, you wait. You wait. I'm going to send it to you. Just wait. I'm trying to put it on the site, but wait till you read this.
Okay.
That's a good point.
I don't think I would vote for him, but I think that between the two, it's very serious.
It is very serious.
That we have to, you know, look at, because we don't know. The average person are not as educated as this panel, and we need to put more information out there so that we can make some sound decisions.
Let me say this.
One of the things too, when we do this show, one of the things I ask the listeners to join the conversation, because we need to hear from them and as to what they think about all the candidates, whether it's Trump, Kasich, Bernie Sanders, Hillary, everybody, because it's how we educate each other and what we know and what we've read. You know, opposed to just, you know, sitting back and not saying anything. And then when we are in various companies, wherever we are, this is how we educate each other and what we know and what we've read. You know, opposed to just, you know, sitting back and not saying anything. And then when we are in various companies, wherever we are, we need to help educate each other. And Marty, you have no problem doing that. You will call out everybody and their brother, regardless as to what the
city. Well, just call them out. Here's the thing. We got through 400 years of hell and headache by one central blessing, and that was our culture requirement that we hold each other as kin. It's our kinship ties. Today, we've never been more disconnected from one another
True.
Than ever before. And we used to share information. You didn't have to. Everybody didn't have to read damn paper today. Right? We shared information. Today, all that information is truncated because we're not sharing with each other. We're not connected with each other. So, what I'm saying to you is, March 1, I'm going to launch a neighborhood block club organizing campaign. Bring neighbors back together, block by block, around lifting up the best life chances for children, inculcate a communications device in that, overlay into that process. We can get valuable information in these neighborhoods, valuable information out. We'll do a prototype in the first 2 months, and we can replicate this all the way until November. Watch this. Wait. Come November, we won't get to all black neighborhoods in this city.
But we'll get over half where people can be educated and their consciousness raised as to what these issues are and who's working in your best interest and who ain't.
Well, that's fine, but I think we need to go to social media because that's where people are looking to get.
Well,
a lot.
Absolutely. Well, one thing we got to understand, when you said education, education about what? Everything doesn't mean everything to everybody.
Educate people to the candidates and the issues.
Well, again, I'm going to have my... She said she hated Hillary Clinton. I don't hate her.
I didn't say I hate. I said I wouldn't vote for her.
Oh, I thought you thought she said... No. Okay, well, okay.
No, I don't
everybody has got their opinions, okay? I say if I've worked to get myself a car and you got your car for free, cars become cheap. Same thing about education. It does not carry the same value. You were on Scalia when Scalia said, oh, you should go to the schools where you're best suited for.
Right,
well, okay.
Okay,
that was a wrong thing to say, but if I'm paying $80,000, $150,000 to go to Harvard, and you're getting a free education to go to Harvard, you've just cheapened my education and my association, my affiliation. Again,
there you got
anytime
silly. There you go, and got
well, hold on, let me make my point.
Jesus.
If I don't just give it to you and you don't have to work for it, and let me give you one more point. I believe in free lunch and breakfast for every kid in public schools. And those who have to pay for it, I wouldn't turn a hungry child away. But when you give it away free and you walk there and you look at how them kids treat that food when it's free, they just throwing bread, except they don't care.
Okay, Bill, let me go back to one
free
of the
is not the best thing. Free healthcare, yes.
Okay, Bill, let me try this one more time.
We're going to pray for him.
Yeah, yes. And they say with a lack of knowledge, our people perish. That's where we are right now. And when we say knowledge, it's like James said, educating ourselves on what the candidates really stand for, finding their true colors opposed to these talking points. Talking points mean, absolutely, in my opinion, nothing. That's all they are talking points. Talking points are not going to put food on the table. It's not going to help you get a better wage, a job, or education, because you say one thing and you're doing something else.
Sure.
They do not go hand in hand. And when they cannot go hand in hand and they're just doing it to pimp you for your vote, that's a problem. And that's what has been happening to the black vote.
James is a classic example of it right here in these two hours. He says he's not political. So he's not going to be educated to the political issues that we're kicking around today.
He's more educated.
Wait. You're saying, rather than get thrown at you with talking points, he has heard an in-depth conversation, pro and con, about these candidates today. That's education, not talking points.
Right.
And it has affected his viewpoint already right before our eyes.
Right.
That's what we have to do with our people, because they're not attuned to what's going on politically. Some of us are hopelessly political all our life, like me.
And let me say this before we go. Tuning in to shows here on WCLM 1450 helps that. Scotty Reed Show. And Real Brother, he's going to share something. I don't know what, other than, you know, white people think they're superior. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that we have to listen to and ask questions and give your comments as well. Because when you listen to mainstream media, they're about making money. That's what they're doing.
That's right.
And they're only going to say what, you know, gets people's attention, and whether it's true or not, that's what they're doing. And we got to get past that. We got to get past all that.
That's a part of it.
So.
That's a part of it.
Because, go ahead and throw your two cents.
Because when you talk about the people who have been disenfranchised because they cannot vote, then you talk about the young people who want something from somebody who's going to give them something. Then you talk about the older folk that's voting their pocketbooks.
We're looking for people to help those folks that cannot vote, put things in place, not folks that are going
to
go against that. Look, we got it. It's over now. As always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each of you. Of course, thanks to Marty, Bill, James, Antoinette, Niara, Jeremiah, Coffee Black, Roosevelt, Marcus, and Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. Remember to live life with a purpose.